This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Sees me through. When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome everyone. I'm Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce new ways of thinking, but most importantly, to facilitate change toward greater acceptance of our rainbow families in all its shapes and sizes. Before we get into the show, big thanks as always to Chris and Cam, who has provide a good giggle as I drive into town on a Thursday afternoon, and to Milan for reading the news. So a big welcome to my lovely co-hosts, Stephanie and Clayton.
Good evening.
Hey, Michelle.
Ooh, she's always very polite, Clayton. Don't you think?
I'm not.
No, but it's, you know, it just sounds very polite and ladylike. We need to sort of get a bit of a rougher edge around Stephanie.
Rumble me up a bit. Yeah. Okay.
We'll try that for next week.
We'll do that for next week. So Midsummer's in full swing, as we all know. And I know both of you were at Carnival Day on Sunday in the heat.
Yes.
It was warm.
Good day.
It was a great day. Mm-hmm. It was my first Carnival, so it was
amazing.
Yeah, it was a great day. Beautiful. Beautiful event, but very hot, and all fell apart for us when we didn't win the sexiest stud at the dog show. So sadly, we had to cut it short and leave very quickly after that.
Oh, well, no consolation, I'm sure, but there is always next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't worry, my daughter has the dog doing tricks, jumping through hoops,
because
she thinks we've got more of a chance of winning the best trick, because there were only 5 entrants in that and there were like 30 in the sexiest stud. So she's done the math. And, we're on to tricks now.
That's some forward planning, isn't it?
I know, it's amazing. Yeah.
So heaps and heaps of events, as we all know. I think we've all got various plans on lots of different events that we're going to go to this year. We've got 2 guests coming in tonight. So a little bit later we're going to be joined by one of the regular Midsummer cabaret performers, who we'll keep a little bit of a secret at the minute. But firstly, we're going to be joined by Meredith Pease. She's the president of Australian Education Union, the Victorian branch, and she'll be discussing their forum that they've got as part of Forum and Expo, actually, as part of Midsummer this year. So without further ado, it's a very long intro. Meredith, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us tonight. So tell us quickly what the union is, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what the expo and forum is about.
Yeah, the Australian Education Union in Victoria is a union that has a membership that includes teachers, support staff, principals, from public education. So we cover early childhood, we cover TAFE, and we also cover the school sector, some people in disability as well. So we represent close to 50,000 staff working in public education across the state.
And Meredith, why is it important for the AEU to be represented at Midsummer?
Look, we made a decision last year when we first got involved to try and promote some of the issues that I think Midsummer does highlight, and for two key reasons. One, because we know we've got a lot of students in public education who might be questioning their sexuality, who are LGBTI members of our community. We also have many members, and we think it's really important that we support diversity in public education, and we make that clear to all our members. But we also provide support to our members in supporting young people in their schools, in their TAFEs.
What would the, if you could narrow it down, the biggest or the two biggest, three biggest issues that you are up against?
Generally or in relation to these issues?
Well, in relation to these issues and GLBTI issues.
Look, I think it is about giving our membership a better understanding. Excuse me, my voice is about to go. That's bad timing.
It's okay.
Better understanding of the issues that perhaps some of their students are confronting and to help them not only understand those issues but how to support those young people, because unfortunately we know that young people experience, LGBTI young people experience high levels of discrimination, bullying, homophobia and so on, and that's not only from other students but unfortunately from teachers. And you know, we think we have an important role to play to educate our own members but also to give them the resources and support so they can support the kids.
Do you have key people within the organisation who take on these roles?
We've got a couple of staff, myself included, who work in this area. One of our organisers, Adam Sermaz, who's the key person, who's done a lot of work in doing the organisation around Midsummer. So we think it's important to have someone with that responsibility, because often that work just gets left undone if you don't have someone with specific responsibilities.
Is it quite different approach to your primary school teachers versus your secondary school teachers?
Not really. I mean, obviously the kids are different ages and we've got students in TAFE as well, but also in early childhood. So, you know, it's pretty broad ranging. We work with Safe Schools Coalition in terms of doing work with our members, and they provide enormous support to us. They're far more knowledgeable than we are about these issues, and they provide a lot of support and resources and work with us, with our membership.
One of the things that I've read here, and I've read this a couple of times about your organisation, it says that your frontiers of positive change and becoming the frontiers of change the Victorian schools are. So I'm wondering what makes the Victorian schools different, if they are that different, or is it that we're just taking the lead?
I think in some of these issues, without sounding a bit arrogant, Victoria has actually been pretty progressive in terms of education and some of these issues. So, for example, in the Department of Education, they have some very good policies relating to staff and some support materials for schools in terms of making sure that staff as employees of the government feel supported in their workplaces and those resources available for principals, for example, to make sure that they're well equipped to deal with any circumstances that might arise, either between staff or with families or with students and so on. And, you know, we've always tried to be at the forefront and fairly progressive about some of these issues and making sure that they are openly discussed.
Is there a way that you have to approach certain types of schools? I know it's the public sector, but is there do you have to have a different sort of approach at all for different types, with different ethnic backgrounds in some of the schools or religions, that sort of thing?
Look, we don't probably, the AU probably doesn't engage at that level. We see our role not only advocating with government, with the Department of Education around these issues, but also providing that support to our members, who are the ones who understand and know their school communities. Yeah. And so it's about us giving them the tools and the resources and the support so that they are then well placed to work within their own school communities, understanding the school communities they're dealing with.
Mm. I'm really, really keen. We're going to go for a break in a second, and I'm really, really keen to come back and chat to you about the forum and the expo. And you've got a whole lot of different groups that I know are part of this, Meredith. So you are listening to Clayton, Michelle and Stephanie, and we've got Meredith in the studio with us. You're on Stand Up Straight.
Hi, this is Adelaide, and you're listening to my mum, Stephanie, and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Say you remember me.
How lovely was that? Stephanie's got a big glow.
Yeah, a little bit proud about that one.
Well done. And hopefully Addie's heard that as well. Go out to...
I did ask her to listen tonight, so hopefully she's tuned in and she's heard her little voice.
That was beautiful. So thank you, Addie, for doing that, and you made your mum proud.
It was good fun to put together, too.
It was.
And thank you, Clayton.
No yes. problem.
He's really good at this stuff,
I
isn't
do.
He?
I'm a big nerd, that's why.
No.
On the 6th of February, Meredith, you're having your forum and expo. What can we expect from the day?
Well, we wanted to run a forum sort of with two broad purposes. One, to have a panel and promote some discussion, give people a chance to hear from some people who work with young people, LGBTI young people, give people a chance to ask questions and talk about the work they're doing in schools and learn from that, but also look at how they can improve what they're doing, and then focus in the afternoon on many of the groups who provide that kind of support and information resources, and to have them available so people can wander around and have a look and talk to people and get access to some of those resources.
So what groups are you expecting you're going to join in?
Well, in the morning in the panel discussion, we've got our MC is Tom Ballard. And he's kicking off the morning. But we have Rowena Allen, who is the new Victorian Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality. Ros Ward from Safe Schools Coalition. Wow. Rebecca Robertson, who is the founder of Transcend. And Margot Fink from Minus 18. So all groups have worked closely with young people, and we think that's a really important focus.
Absolutely.
And is it just for AEU members, Meredith, or can anybody attend the forum?
We've certainly tried to encourage our membership to come, but it is an open forum. So we've encourage young people, their families, educators to come along and learn from this and get some ideas about how they can improve what they're doing in their education setting.
So that's an important thing to understand. It's not just for teachers. It's for everybody involved in the education community.
Absolutely.
So you could get your whole family along. Anybody can go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great... Well, it's also a great way to create discussion, I suppose, even just at a family level, not just... Which is, you can still educate your family, but not in a traditional educational sense. So it's a great idea.
And it's important to get all those perspectives.
Yeah. How do you choose the groups that you have got? It's a fabulous broad cross-section of people. So how did you get them?
Look, we thought, given Rowena Allen's position was a new one, she's had quite a bit of involvement, particularly in the vet sector in previous roles in education, so that was an obvious choice for us. We work closely with Safe Schools Coalition and have done a lot of work with Ros Ward, so we certainly wanted her involved. Safe Schools work with Minus 18 as well. They've been active around curriculum and support for young people. So we really just wanted to focus on the groups that work directly with LGBTI young people and who can provide some insight into the issues they face and what sort of resources and support are available.
Safe Schools Coalition have a fantastic new resources for secondary schools in teaching GLBTI issues in schools. Well, that is that going to be part of the day as well?
Or? Yeah, I'm sure that Ros will talk about that, but they'll also have a stall. So, there will be information available for people on the day, and they can either listen to Ros or they can hang around and have a look and get to talk to people directly about some of those resources.
So there's it's kind of in two parts, isn't it? So there's the afterwards where it's perhaps maybe a little bit less formal, and so can anyone go up and talk to Ros or the commissioner? Anybody can go up and have a chat to them afterwards?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. I'm not sure the commissioner will stay for the whole day, but she'll certainly be there for the morning, and we do want to make it as interactive as possible so that not only will those people speak, but there'll be an opportunity for the participants to ask questions and get involved in the discussion. Certainly in the afternoon, we see that as a bit less formal. People,
yeah.
We don't expect people to come for the whole afternoon. They might drop in for half an hour, and have a wander around, talk to people, look at the material that's available. So we want people to feel relaxed in that environment, yeah, and get as much out of it as they can.
On that, I was just about to ask about the material, and so if anybody, I mean, I'm assuming there's going to be perhaps people there that might not be out to their family, so there's going to be resources available. Would there be pamphlets and various other all other things available there for them?
Yeah, we certainly expect that. So there'll be a lot of information available, and you know, we want people to feel as comfortable as possible. And you know, if they're not out, then that's fine.
Mm.
But we also want to encourage them to come along and feel that they can participate, maybe ask some questions, but also get some information if they don't want to participate more actively, that will help them. So it's really for everyone, and to try and raise these issues and give people information. And it'd be great too if we've got people from the education sector, and particularly our members, who can perhaps come along and talk about some of their experiences and some of the work that they've done in their schools, because I'm sure there's things out there that we don't yet know about that may be very valuable for other people to hear about.
Yeah, and you know, for years and years I've always heard in probably every sector, every part of the GLBTI community, everyone says stories, personal stories, are the key. It's because that's what that's where your relatability comes. You know, someone can obviously align themselves with what they're hearing, or you know, relate to what they're hearing, or hear someone else's story, and then that becomes a tool for helping someone else. I think it's the stories that are key, aren't they?
Yeah. Incredibly important.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of our work, not just in this area, but a whole range of education areas, is about those stories and understanding what's happening in our schools, how we can support people. But it's also about making sure that people, you know, that broad comment I made before about we want to support and promote diversity in public education, wherever on that spectrum you are, that you should feel comfortable about tapping into what's available on the day and getting something out of it at some particular level.
A lot of people would perhaps know what the Safe Schools Coalition is, and also I would think maybe minus 18, but Transcend, a lot of people might not realise. Do you want to just explain what Transcend is?
They're a parent group, if you like, supporting gender diverse young people. So I think that's a really important voice
it's
to be heard. Safe Schools Coalition, the focus is on the students and supporting schools. But, you know, parents play a very important role.
Absolutely,
as well.
In a school,
and
yeah,
we really do need to hear from them.
And that's really key. I mean, the word family is mentioned quite a lot in the information about the expo. And I think that's you know, whether it's your school family, or whether it's your biological family, or your family of friends, I think that's, you know, that's all equally important. And I know that with Transcend, I've had one of the founders here on the show, and it's a couple of mums that just saw a need, and what they needed they couldn't find. And they have created this organisation, Transcend, which is a fantastic idea. And I think even what you're doing is finding this need of pooling all your resources for everyone to come to. It's like this one-stop shop in a sense, isn't it?
Yeah, we wanted to try and bring together a whole lot of those resources which might be useful, not only to our members but to the broader community and our school communities. So it is a bit of a one-stop shop, and we hope it provides that purpose on the day.
And just from the list that I've heard mentioned tonight, there is one area that I'm always curious about with GLBTI issues in schools, and I know just from having school-aged children that it certainly has not been covered in my teenage boys' education, is diverse sexual education. And I wonder, you know, whether there is room for an organisation, for instance, like Family Planning, to come in and be part of these discussions so that they can modify or adapt, you know, their content to incorporate everybody, because GLBTI youth are not represented in general sex education.
No, that's an incredibly important point. And I think it's a bit of a mixed bag out there in schools. Some schools do it well. other schools probably don't do it at all. And, you know, if you're one of those young people sitting in a classroom and you can't see anything in perhaps the curriculum material or in the discussion in sex ed that represents you, then that's going to make that student feel quite isolated.
Yeah,
so it's incredibly important that we make our curriculum broadly as diverse as possible. I've done a lot of work in my 25 years, I suppose, in education around gender equity and the importance of making sure that you have curriculum material that is representative of gender. And I think this is yet another area where, and it's not the only area, but where we need to make sure that the curriculum and the discussions that are going on in our classrooms are representative of the very diverse student population we have, because we risk otherwise students feeling alienated and isolated.
Yes, and inclusion.
Absolutely. And it can have long-term health impacts on those young people and on their education.
And I guess that's one question I'd really like to ask you, Meredith, because in reading your bio, you obviously have taught, and you've taught a whole range of subjects. I mean, it's amazing when I looked at the list of subjects that you've taught. Do you miss the classroom?
You always miss the classroom. It's a long time since I've been in the classroom now, but I still see myself as a teacher. If someone asks me what I do, yes, I'm a union official, but I'm at my core, I'm a teacher. I'm lucky that I'm qualified to teach a whole range of things, which has meant that, you know, there's never been a dull moment in terms of what I've been able to teach. But yeah, teaching is a great occupation. It's a profession I'm very proud to be part of.
What was your favourite subject to teach?
I don't know that I've got a specific favourite. I've probably leaned in my later years towards environmental education, and I've had a lot of involvement around climate change and that kind of thing. But I'm also a qualified maths teacher, and I used to love teaching maths, particularly to year sevens. And I'm a science teacher too, and there's a lot about science I really enjoy.
And geography
and biology. So, look, I wouldn't pick a particular one, but teaching is a really good occupation. It's a very hard one. It's a very complex work, but
and
it is also very, can be thankless, but it's really good fun. No day is ever the same. And working with young people is really challenging, but it's very exciting and very rewarding.
Well, that kind of summarises what your expo and your forum is. It's about inclusion and education, really. That's what your forum is. So if people want to go along, we need to make sure we stress this is for anybody. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't even have to be a student. You could be in your 60s. It doesn't matter who goes. Bring your family along. Go and participate or go and listen, yeah?
Absolutely.
So it's at it's in Abbotsford, 112 Trenery Crescent. So that's 112 Trenery Crescent in Abbotsford. It's from 10 a.m. until 3. They don't have to go all day, do they?
They don't.
You can pop in for an hour. It's on February the 6th. So please do yourself a favour. Take some people along. Be a fabulous fabulous day.
And we'll pop the link up on the Stand Up Straight Facebook page.
Yep, we will definitely. And thank you for the work that you do, Meredith. And good luck for Midsummer. And hopefully you're at Midsummer for the next 25 years.
Yeah, well, it's a great carnival.
Yeah,
and we've really enjoyed being involved over the last couple of years. So we're looking forward to it and looking forward to this as well as the Pride March, which is still to come.
Yes. Exciting month of January and into February. So thanks again, Meredith, for joining us.
Thanks
and,
for your time.
We're going to go for a quick break and a song. Come back with our second guest, Clayton, aren't we?
You're on
Stand Up Straight on Joy.
Hey, this is Kimbra and you're listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station.
Places where we dance.
be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
And hello, welcome back to Stand Up Straight. You are with Stephanie, Michelle and Clayton. And we have a very special guest in with us tonight. We have the very talented Dina Khoury.
Hello.
Hello, oh. Dean. And I have to say, you are looking a lot cooler than you were on Sunday when I saw you as somebody else.
Yes, I was at Carnival dressed as the fabulous Frock Hudson.
Oh my goodness, that wig. I felt so sorry for anyone who was in drag, who was in leather, or who
wearing
was,
clothes in general.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
It wasn't just the wig. I was also in Frock's outfit, which is a rubber suit.
Okay. Oh, my God. How many kilos did you lose?
Oh, no, I know. I mean, as I was doing it, everyone's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm doing well. And all I kept thinking was, think of the weight loss.
Tell us about her outfit. Actually, no. Backtrack. Tell us about her first.
Well, Frock is not necessarily a she. I call Frock a Frock rather than he or she. When I was trying to think about, you know, what's the next kind of level for me as far as performing, and I always turned around and said, I would never do drag. I have nothing but respect for so many drag queens. I can't lip sync. It's not something.
I'm surprised about that, too. Dean. I would have thought
I've tried doing it, and I one time when I was doing a show and they wanted me to lip sync, I got them to turn the volume up during the show, and I actually just sung quietly. I have so much respect when I watch so many performers do lip syncing, because it's not a skill that I possess. I need to sing. Mm-hmm. I need to actually vocalize, and that's how I can do it. To not do it, just. I don't know how they do it. And I was over in London, and actually, I'd been mulling around whether to bring Frock Hudson out and bring Frock to life. Mm. I'm still getting those terms right. And in London, the drag queens sing live. They don't lip sync.
Can you sing?
Oh, I can sing very, very well.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mean,
why would you
lip sync?
I'm a cabaret performer. I can most certainly sing.
Well, then, why would you lip sync if you can sing?
Yes.
And Exactly. And I was thinking about, you know, how to... I wanted to bring something more to my performance other than an Italian who's putting on weight and hitting 40. So, and it's that funny thing as well where, you know, when you get a lot of corporate gigs and they kind of go, oh, you know, so you're gay, will that necessarily work with what we do? And I do a variety of events. I've sung in leathers, I've sung in a suit, but the ones that stick in people's mind always seems to be the leathers, and they get a bit concerned about me rocking up to a formal event dressed in leathers. But I wanted to bring something more to what I do, and that's how Frock was born.
So rubber and a blue hair is fine, though?
Well, it is. It is a rubber tuxedo, so it does have a touch of stylishness to it. If you can see on on Facebook, I actually sung at the Best of the Fest for Midsummer on Tuesday, and I jazzed the rubber up with some feathers and some jewellery,
nice.
And it was like a Mrs. Slocum wig instead of the blue one, which I thought was just fabulous and fun.
How do you come up with characters, but Frock in particular, was this like a seed of something in your mind for the last 10 years? What do you do?
Well, people that have been seeing me perform, especially during Midsummer, would always know I love a bit of a fabulous costume, and I've been wearing the Lycra, or last year when I was performing in the see-through wrestling suit with the coattails, and I always kind of attuned that to the performances which I was doing, and I wanted to bring something a little bit more, and I look at these wonderful performers such as the lovely Dolly Diamond or great comedian Rhonda Butchmore, and it's really wonderful to watch what they do within the broadening the skill set that they have and add that element of caricature and drag to it, and that's what I wanted to do with Frock.
But have you thought about Frock for a long time?
Frock has been mulling in my mind for a couple of years. Honestly, one of the big issues I had was trying to figure out a look for Frock, and it's really funny how it all kind of comes together. That's one of the reasons why I'm not shaving. I have sideburns. I have a hairy chest. That doesn't mean I won't wear a dress. And I think that's
Well, I mean, it works for Conchita, doesn't it?
Well, exactly. But I also just think it's a fun play on gender. And for me, I was really worried when I was kind of putting this together, because the last thing I'd want to do is offend anybody.
Well, I was wondering, are there elements of Frock that you've based on people?
It's all... what I've done with Frock instead is Frock... with Frock, I get to expand on... on myself. And it's something interesting that a lot of people do with drag is they use it to highlight and hide certain elements of myself themselves. I've done it the other way around. Mm. With frock, you can't miss anything. The stomach seems larger in the outfits. You know, the hair is up, so suddenly you can't miss the nose. And it all just makes all the elements of myself that I might necessarily like to hide a little bit more, I let them burst out.
So
and
is that's it one liberating
the
then?
Frock is even more liberating for me as a performer than I already am.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you love about her?
I just love the joy and freedom of it. To be, I've never experienced, I mean, I've always been in a costume, but just been Dean. But when, and I was at one of the midsummer openings of the gallery space here in the city, which is absolutely wonderful with a variety of gallery things that everyone should check out. And I was frocked up and just being myself and looking at the artwork and talking to people about midsummer when you're dressed like that. And people respond so much more and are so encouraged by the colour and life.
You're actually quite lit up as you're talking about frock as well. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your show, because I have noticed you've got some special guests as well.
Yes. So I'm performing Frock Hudson's Furlesque, and I decided if I was going to do frock, I was going to do it big. So I took a note out of the lovely Dolly Diamond's book and decided to perform at the Spiegel Tent.
Nice.
And one of the things I wanted to do with performing there was to bring along some guests. I've done plenty of shows for an hour or so, or more, where it's just been me. But if I was going to introduce frock to the world, I certainly wanted to make sure I brought some fabulous performing friends along.
So I think frock may be hanging out there in the foyer of joy, I think, Dean. So we might let her get ready and come back, and she's going to
talk. That would be them get ready, by the way.
It's, them get ready.
It's hard.
Sorry, I'm learning.
Let Frock get ready.
Yeah, and we're going to go for a quick break and come back and chat with Dean and Frock. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy.
I'm Dean Arcuri, and when listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9, it's not about same-same, it's all about being different, with Michelle on the mic.
That man is everywhere. He's taking over. Well, we're not letting him take over just for a couple of minutes. We've kicked Dean out of the studio. Frock is in. Do we say Frock is in the house?
Frock is in the house, darling.
Oh, good. Now, Stephanie asked Dean a question before, which I think we might, she might direct it to Frock, I think, instead.
Right back to Frock. I was asking about the special guests.
Yes, at my lovely, fabulous show, Furlesque, we're going to have some wonderful special guests. I decided to mull around Melbourne and Australia, in fact, and look for some performers who might not have gotten as much exposure as they should have gotten in Melbourne. So I'm actually bringing over the lovely Miss I'm a Star from Tasmania. To come and perform with me. Now, Miss I'm a Star I've loved. She's performed at the Comedy Festival before, at the Spiegel Tent, in fact, at many times in Tasmania, and has even had CDs and toured around Australia. So I'm very excited to bring her with me. And I'm going to get to sing a couple of duets, which I'm very excited about. And, of course, there's the lovely Lady Diamond, who is a wonderful singer, but never seems to quite get as high up in the Melbourne scene as she should. So I'm very excited to introduce her to all of you. And, of course, the lovely Paul Hughes, who's actually an opera singer, who works at the bar at the Laird. And we're going to do a couple of numbers. We've always sung a bit of karaoke at the Laird, but we're going to step it up and do a bit more. And there's even some aerial acrobatics by the lovely Tro to even spice things up. And my band have decided that they're going to call themselves the Ewoks. So it's a whole lot of fur at Furlesque this midsummer.
But Frock, you are so generous, aren't you, giving all these performers a leg up? Really? I mean, when...
leg up or leg over?
Can I just... they're performers who can share the space with me in their absolute own right. Like, they're already elevated, but people seem to miss them whenever they're doing things or they jump across to another show. So it's time to push over the Joel Creases and the Trevor Ashleys and let everyone else step up and have their time.
I've got a question, Frock.
Yes,
your makeup is just so quiet and demure and so subtle. Just wondering if you've got any special beauty secrets for us ladies.
Well, I think more is never less. I think lips are the most important. Everyone says eyes are the window to the soul, but I think it's all about the lips. You can never have too much lipstick, girls.
I do agree with that, actually. My grandmother said to me once, never leave the house without lipstick on. And that's true.
You should have seen how often I reapplied during the Midsummer Carnival. There was a lot.
I can imagine. Your face must have been melting off.
So tell us, Frock, wearing rubber, exciting?
Is it exciting?
Yes, is it?
You know what? It's actually wonderful. Wearing rubber is fantastic. You know what's funny? I must admit, you know, like I wondered how it was all going to go, especially up on the stage with people taking photos from down low. I worried it would be a lot of stomach shots. But there's something about rubber where it just fits along your entire body that's absolutely lovely, and you just have no fear, and you just step on out and wear it, and it's great.
So you're a confident person, aren't
I am.
You?
Yes. I am. It's true.
Yes. And for those that haven't seen a photograph of you, do you want to describe your hair from?
Well, you know what's funny? A couple of the board members' parents at Midsummer yelled out Marge Simpson to me at Carnival, and they were excited to have photos with Marge Simpson. It's actually a lovely blue spiked coif.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Just fabulous. In fact, I've decided for the show I'm going to sport some other colours as well in the exact same look. It's high and fabulous, so no matter how wide I get, my face still looks perfect.
And they're the two words, high and fabulous, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now I know you had to rush off because you've got a rehearsal
to go to. I do have to keep rehearsing.
I know. And although you're a perfectionist, we know you do like to rehearse.
It's
I know.
True.
So we want to thank you for making a really, really a special visit into the studio here at Joy. And you can push Dean back into the door after we come back from this break. But if people want to come and see you, where do they go?
Well, they can just head to the Midsummer website, and if you click on the link, it'll take you to OutTix, where you can get tickets for my show, which is at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent at the 4th, 5th and 6th from 8 o'clock at the final week of Midsummer.
Three nights only.
Yes, nights only.
Yeah, so they'll be ready for a bit of... what have we got? Frolicking?
It's the frolicking with frock is the perfect way to wind down your midsummer.
Frockling?
Frockling?
Frockling.
Oh, is that a real word?
As a teacher, I'm allowed to make up words.
I love a bit of frockulation.
So thank you so much, Frock Hudson, for joining us in the studio.
My pleasure, lovely.
And are we going to go for a quick break? You're on Stand Up.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
We are nearly at the top of the hour. We've had a very busy studio. Like, what do we call it? A revolving door or something, do we, Dean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Frock, what a wonderful person.
He's quite a character, isn't he?
Oh, amazing.
Now, sorry to interrupt, Michelle, but I just really need to apologise to Dean because I made a big faux pas earlier on when I said that I didn't know that Dean sang, because I know Dean from Between the Sheets on Paul Anthony's show, and I know Dean from being on the show with us previously, but I actually didn't know that you are a singer.
I sometimes feel sorry for people because, let's face it, I do a lot. I'm a journalist, I'm a photographer, I'm a performer. You hear me here on Joy. And you know what's funny? I've been an independent performer for 10 years in Melbourne. Oh. I performed around Australia. This is my ninth Midsummer, and every year I've done cabarets and other things as well, other shows and performances.
Do you have different characters each time? Or different
I've evolved different shows. The first show I ever did in Midsummer was my character Stuart the Stuart, that I actually said would be the gayest, the closest I would ever come to a drag queen was my gay ultra airline Stuart character. But obviously that's changed over time. As the hair gets grayer, I colour up other things, it seems. And it's still, every year when people see me perform, they go, I didn't know you could sing.
Yeah.
And I've been in the festival for 9 years. Next year will be my 10th.
And sometimes you just need to put on a blue wig and a bit of rubber to get noticed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stephanie, that's our answer.
Yeah, well,
a bit of rubber and a blue wig, do you reckon?
My husband would love that. My husband loves rubber. Yeah.
I think that's for a show on Wednesday night at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that. Hide and seek, maybe. Yeah.
You also tried to get a bit of attention recently by doing a nude interview as well.
Well, I did actually. That was that was with Bent TV. We did a nude interview for a Nude Manfest that's actually happening this weekend. That happens during Midsummer. It's been going for 5 years, and it's a nude camping weekend. It's absolutely wonderful.
I have you been to the nude camp?
I've never been able to because I'm so busy with so much during Midsummer.
Yeah,
no, I would love to.
Excuses, Stephanie. That's all I'm hearing.
I would love to go to Nude Manfest.
Slightly little bit more of a serious question, but why do you think these festivals are so important? Midsummer and I suppose Chill Out and
all the queer festivals.
Yeah,
you know what? Because they speak to our identity, our culture, and our life. If you look at the Midsummer Guide this year, it's absolutely brilliant. There's such diversity, and while we have performers and artists and speakers doing things all year round and making sure there are things that evolve and highlight things within our community, a festival gives us all a moment to stop and gives us all a moment to share in it together, and also gives people an opportunity to step up. There were three people at Carnival that I spoke to who this was their first Carnival of a variety of ages. Some were 16, some were in their 30s, and it was so wonderful to realise that festivals and these events give our community a chance to stop and celebrate.
Is it about bonding as well, in a sense? Is it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It brings us all together. And you know what? It is great to have these 3 weeks to allow performers to go, we're going to do things. I mean, we've got some amazing plays, especially at Gasworks, from Beyond Priscilla to Allergy to Gender Spanner, that look at so many different elements within our community and our world, whether it's male, female, refugees, our culture. And also the beauty of this kind of a festival is it reminds us that we still have so much to learn. We may have a way to go within a lot of different levels of equality, but we have so much to learn within ourselves. And just because we're queer doesn't mean there's a whole other queer world that we forget about.
It's true. And if for anyone that wants to, if they've got no idea and they think it's just cabaret and dance, dancing and lots of semi-nude gay men, there is a phenomenal array.
There's so much. The artwork is amazing. The talks, the spoken word stuff is absolutely wonderful. Now, I will say this. I know a lot of people can get a bit confused with the Midsummer website because it jumps to Outtakes, which literally just has, in date order, everything going on in the festival, and it's a little bit overwhelming. You know what you need to do? You need to follow Midsummer on Facebook or follow Midsummer on Twitter because that crew are working overtime to show you everything that's going on and highlighting it, or make it even easier. Just stay tuned to Joy because they've got everyone
they
coming.
They have, or even you can come up. You can come up here to Level 9 at Joy and get one of the, every year get the actual hard copy.
I like to
sit and I circle things.
I love
and
the physical.
On that, there's some shows there. Oh, there's a lot of stuff that's free. You can go and see a play for $15 and $20.
It's a really good price. And you know what? There's a lot of free stuff.
Yeah,
I believe this year. It was, I think, 50% is free events, and 23% of the festival guide is family friendly.
Yeah,
which is absolutely wonderful.
And I think I'm glad you mentioned that, Dean, because that the family angle, I think, perhaps gets forgotten.
Absolutely, but you know what makes it really, really exciting for me? I mean, Midsummer comes together thanks to a really dedicated board and a really hardworking team, but it's an open access festival.
Yeah.
Like, they organise a portion of things that are absolutely fantastic, but it's people coming together and putting this stuff on for us to enjoy, which is what I think is great about the family-friendly stuff.
I dare anyone to try and find something that they couldn't go to.
Absolutely.
There is a phenomenal array. So we're nearly at the top of the hour, and Spirit Lounge are going to be coming in at 8 o'clock, and we've got the Woods coming in at 9. So, Dean, thank you so much for coming in
for
allowing Frock to have a bit of airspace as well.
Back to rehearsal.
She's gone.
Yeah.
Tell us again, how can they get tickets for your show?
Just head to the Midsummer website, on my own website, deanarcurie.com, and it'll take you to the Outtakes link to get tickets to Frock Hudson's Burlesque.
At the Melbourne Spiegel Tent, 36 Johnson Street, Collingwood. They could just turn up at the door as well, couldn't they?
I'm going to make sure that happens because people have had some confusion with the link.
Okay, so 4th, 5th and 6th of February at 8 p.m. Do yourself a favour. Go and see a fabulous blue wig and some
high heels that I'm learning
heels,
how to get into.
Yeah. And so thank you so much, Dean, for joining us. Thank you, Clayton. Thank you, Stephanie. Enjoy your midsummer. Go do something interesting this weekend. Up next is Spirit Lounge, as I said, Woods at 9 o'clock. You've been listening to Michelle, Clayton and Stephanie on Stand Up Straight.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.